The following program is a rebroadcast from June 27th, 2010.
Hashem Adonai, Shalom Havarim, blessed be the name of the Lord, peace to our friends, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our teacher, our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And now get ready, because you're going to get a great teaching from God's Word. I'm excited to hear it. You should have a Bible, a pen, and a piece of paper to take down some notes, and enjoy the next hour of learning God's Word. Especially on things having to do with the study of the end of days or what we call eschatology. So we're going to just invite the Lord in, and we invite him today. We pray, Father, be with us and enlighten us, open our ears and our eyes. Send your Holy Spirit to give us discernment and to help us to understand and incorporate what we learn today in our lives. And also, I want to mention all the prayer requests that come in during the week, Lord, that you know who they are and what the requests are for, that you would hear and dispatch whatever needs to be done on these prayer requests. And we trust that you do that in the name of your precious Son, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John. I'm so glad that you open up and I don't have to.
Well, I'm glad you give me the opportunity to do that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. But we are here at WHKW every week, where I truly enjoy sharing the gold nuggets of Judeo-Christian truth, especially on...
eschatology.
That's my favorite word, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that is.
But you know what? It's been a few weeks, and we need to, every so often, give our statement of faith for any of the new listeners.
Right.
So that they get an idea of where we're coming from, because, mm-hmm. you know...
That's important.
It is important.
That's important.
So we do believe in the Trinity, and we believe that Jesus came in the flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was crucified, and he rose from the dead. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower all believers and is coming again in two stages. First, when we who are the bride, and by the way, that means that we have accepted his betrothment, when we meet him in the air, when we hear that last trumpet sound, that's the first stage. And then, 7 years later, after the tribulation on earth, we would now be called his wife, and you can check that out in Revelation 19:7. We will accompany him back to earth, closing the period called the wrath of God, to set up his kingdom on earth. Hallelujah. And much of what we will be discussing on these shows encompasses these events. You know, Jen, you know, I was raised a Catholic, and I remember even as a small child, every week it was drummed into me these words, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. So you see, I was indoctrinated at a very early age about end time prophecy, and I started liking it way back then.
Well, that was truly, God had you there for a reason in the
Absolutely.
Catholic Church so that you could learn that and that it would inspire you.
That's right. And it was very good discipline for me, too, by the way. So, John, how close do you think we really are?
To the return for Jesus to come and take his
to
church.
To take us, yeah.
So we can escape the wrath of God. Well, I would say... Now would be the time to prepare yourself. If you're the bride, we should be preparing ourselves like a bride. And figuratively, that means instead of getting our dress and our clothing is our works and our righteous acts. And that includes studying God's Word. We should be into God's Word.
It beautifies us.
It makes us beautiful in His eyes.
Yes.
And He's coming after a bride. Now we don't want to look. We don't want to look all disheveled and not like we're not ready and still have our hair in curlers. We want to look. We want to look beautiful to Him, and of course, the way to do that
is through the Word. It's the only way, really.
Yes.
You know. But you know what, John? I just feel like saying another prayer. Let's just pray. Okay. And if you're out there listening, I hope you'll bow your heads and pray with me. Lord Jesus, we don't know the exact time that we're going to hear that sound of the last trumpet, but your word says to pray to escape the days of vengeance and to look for the signs and to encourage each other as we see that day approaching. So, Lord, many are going through difficult times, perhaps of testing, maybe to earn more rewards in heaven by passing these tests. But anyway, Lord, I pray for these souls right now that are going through anything and ask you to give them endurance, give them strength, and let them trust that you are in control of all things and that your eye is on the body of Christ. And no man can pluck us out of your hand. And we thank you, Lord, for your most cherished gift of salvation through your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, as we pray to you, Father, in his name. And amen.
Amen. That was great. That was a great prayer.
Felt to do that.
Yes. A very powerful prayer. I do want to remind you, though, that thanks to our friend Lou Buckles, you can listen to any of our past shows by going to shofarministries.net. And we'll be opening the phone lines a little bit later in the hour. And we just want to remind you, keep your questions limited to the topic of eschatology, because we are in those last days, and not a lot of information is being taught in the local churches today. I mean churches, the building organization type churches. Now, some of them are, and I encourage you to find them and to attend them. And we need to know how truly close we are to that sound of the last trumpet. That 1 Corinthians 15, maybe you could explain what the last trumpet means on this show today, because that's...
You know, I think that's a great idea, because we talk about it every show. Yes. And so let's explain that. And also, I just want to add that in the book of Revelation, which, of course, is the prophecy teaching of the end times,
yes,
he even says there that there's a special blessing to those who study prophecy. Hello?
Hello.
So let's do that. Let's get that special blessing. You know, I believe it's coming soon, okay?
Yes.
And we're always supposed to believe that. Even the days of the disciples were to believe he was coming back soon. That's part of getting that, one of the rewards.
Right.
But our Father is just like a regular dad who wants to give us rewards, okay? He wants to, you know, acknowledge when we do, you know, good and things like that. And our Father in heaven, if he is getting ready to blow that trumpet, he's trying to get Christians to earn as many rewards as possible so he can give them to them, right? And studying prophecy is one of those rewards.
Yes, he's coming with it, and his reward is with him.
Yeah.
It says in the scriptures, I know that.
So
and,
I think it's really
And I
important.
Think there's a little confusion out there in the churches about trumpets in general.
Absolutely.
And what they're talking about.
Absolutely.
And you, I don't know,
let's
I had
talk about it.
Somebody told me, they thought, is this like a regular trumpet, like... Doc Severinsen or
right.
somebody would play.
Well, nothing is in the Bible for naught. I mean, you have everything has a reason for it, okay?
Yeah.
And in fact, I think we should point out the two major scriptures for the rapture,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to explain it. So if you have your Bibles out there in Radioland, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:16.
Okay. You're probably already there, aren't you?
I definitely am.
Hey, by the way, these aren't the only two scriptures. These are just the primary ones.
These are the primary ones that everybody uses, yes.
Yes.
Someday, though, we're going to go through a lot of them.
Because there's many.
Oh, many, many.
Many, many.
Even in the Old Testament, John.
Yes.
Ooh. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 especially. Now, the whole chapter is excellent. Of course, we can't do that on the air, but I hope that if you haven't read that recently, that you certainly will do it. But it says in 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." With who? The dead in Christ that have just been raised. We're going to meet them in the air to meet the Lord. "And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore," and I love these closing words to this chapter, "therefore comfort one another with these words." Don't you understand?
That's not supposed to scare you. It's supposed to comfort you.
Right. You're
yes.
supposed to get excited about
yes.
this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to escape the days of vengeance that Luke 21 talks about.
And
he says pray to escape them. Why? Because if you're a Christian and you know the Lord, you're going to be in prayer.
That's
it just
right.
goes along with it. So hold your finger there,
mm-hmm.
John, And let's go to Corinthians, and let's compare the two.
Okay, 15 and verse 51.
It is 1 Corinthians 15, 51. And he says a similar thing, but I want you to notice what he starts out with in 31. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, John, do you know what that means when Paul says, I tell you a mystery?
Yes, it does. It means I'm going to tell you something I haven't told you before.
Exactly. He's going to reveal something different than what he's already told them. Okay? So he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Well, we already know that from Thessalonians. But we shall all be changed. We already know that, too.
We know that from 1 Thessalonians. Okay.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And let's stop there. No, let's continue now. Go back. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So we know about the changing. We know about the meeting in the air from Thessalonians.
What's different?
And Thessalonians was written first, even though it was in the Bible after Corinthians. If you check it out.
That was going to be my next point.
It was written first.
Thessalonians came after Corinthians.
No, only it's just placed that way. But when you look at it, you'll see that Thessalonians was first. Okay, yeah. that means a lot.
And most reputable Bible scholars believe that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. That,
there's no question. That's not,
there's no question.
That's not argumentative. Okay.
That's a moot point.
I'm glad, yeah.
Yes.
But here we got, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And, of course, when you go back forward to Thessalonians, you notice that he calls it the trumpet of God.
Right.
But in Corinthians, he tells them more detailed information, a mystery, first time told in the New Testament, and that is
it's the last
trumpet.
Okay, so that's significant.
That's very significant. So let's talk about the last trumpet.
Okay.
Well,
sounds like there must be other trumpets if that's the last one. There must be a first one.
You think there's a first one? Very good, John. There certainly is. And you know what? Think about it is, unless you study Hebraic roots, in other words, what our Jewish ancestors who wrote the Bible, our first Christians, understood and knew and followed, okay, unless you really know those idioms of the day, the phraseology, you will miss this.
Right.
You know, and so that's why I'm doing this today, to show you that there are three idioms or three phrases for three particular trumpets. Okay?
Okay.
And
I'd like to hear what they are.
Okay. They are the first trumpet.
Okay.
It's the last trumpet, and there's the great trumpet.
First, last, and great.
Right.
And we're talking about the last. That's the middle one, at least in 1 Corinthians.
But should we explain what the first one is?
Yes,
to explain it?
I think so.
Good answer. The first trumpet has got the phrase first. Now, you know what? Before I even do that, I just want to explain to you that just as we have phrases or idioms, for instance, if I told you, if I told you Turkey Day was coming, what would you think?
I would think there's something wrong with you because it's the middle of summer. Turkey Day doesn't come till November.
Exactly. But you know what I would be talking about, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Or if I made an expression like, they're going to hang mistletoe.
Okay.
You would know what season it is, wouldn't
you? Right.
Okay, well, this is a similar situation.
I gotcha.
In the Bible, the very first time that a trumpet was blown by God himself was in Exodus 19.
And that was on top of Mount Sinai.
It was.
Yes.
And if you look in Strong's, you will see the first time trumpet is used is Exodus 19 by God himself. And it was on a particular day when they received their law or Torah, their Ten Commandments, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay, our Bible today, the Old Testament. And so they just associated that particular time, which is also called Pentecost, because it was 50 days after they came through the Red Sea. So it was called Pentecost. And that was the first time that God actually blew the trumpet from heaven and all could hear it.
So if you're talking about the first trumpet, you're talking about Pentecost.
You are. You are. And so later on in the first century, if they were to say the first trumpet's about to sound, everybody would know that Pentecost was on its way.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty simple, right?
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So just like there's a first trumpet, there's also a last trumpet.
Okay.
All right. And the last trumpet is always associated with a particular festival called the Feast of Trumpets.
Feast of Trumpets.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Is that also known as the Feast of Tabernacles?
Or,
no, that would be the one that we didn't cover. This would be the repentance season. I'm guessing.
I know you are. You're supposed to play that other person, you know, and I keep forgetting that. And I keep thinking, no, John, that's wrong. But you're doing that on purpose. Actually, the last trumpet is for the Feast of Trumpets, because on this particular feast, which is also called Rosh Hashanah, because it's the memorial of the creation of Adam, or the beginning of the world. So it's like New Year's.
It's a New Year's.
Yeah, it's a New Year's festival,
head
Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means
head.
You're not supposed to know that.
No, I'm
kidding.
Today I know it.
Rosh means head and.
And Shana is year.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's head of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Also called Feast of Trumpets because they blow 100 blasts of trumpets, shofars, ram's horns, let's be specific, on the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah every year.
Now they do it all at the same time?
Nope.
No?
One right after another.
One right after another.
Yeah, that's what I understand anyway. I wasn't there, but that's what I've been told.
Okay.
But at the last sound of the last trumpet, they would celebrate Rosh Hashanah. That would be their signal to commemorate the festival and the new year.
Really?
Yeah.
So when we're talking about the last trumpet, we're talking about the new year.
Absolutely.
The biblical new year.
The biblical new year.
So,
and that's really true, too.
Yeah, okay.
You know? And they always believed, and I read it in the Talmud in the section called Rosh Hashanah, I think it was 11 or 12b, somewhere in there, where they always believed that the resurrection would occur on a Rosh Hashanah because it was the anniversary or the birthday of man.
Interesting.
Okay, and, you know, the more you study, you start to see how God does things on specific dates,
yes,
and how numbers kind of play a role here.
Yes, they do.
And it's interesting, but Paul went to the school of Hillel. I think it was his grandfather that started that school, Gamaliel or something.
Yeah.
Do you know the name?
Something like that.
He was an intelligent man.
Yes.
Paul knew his Hebraic roots.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So when he tells them in Corinthians, which he wrote after Thessalonians, that now he's going to reveal a mystery to them. He's going to give them more information about when our bodies are going to be changed. And he says at the last trumpet, wow.
Sheila, is he saying that, is he telling them or telling us that the rapture is going to occur on a New Year's?
I think that's what he's saying.
Okay.
He doesn't really say
which one. But
I'm not saying it.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what they knew, and he's specifically saying at the last trumpet, which was an idiom for that last trumpet sounded on Rosh Hashanah, which, by the way, lasts for 2 days, so I don't know the day or the hour.
Okay.
Well, please get that straight. And I don't know the year.
That's true.
Okay? I really don't. Only God knows when the end of 6,000 years will occur. Calendars have been goofed up, okay? Periods of history haven't even been accounted for, I understand. Short periods of history, servitudes, and things like that. So we don't know exactly where we're at, but we know it's somewhere around 6,000 years.
We know we're close.
We know we're close.
And there's a very good chance that it's going to happen on a new year.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
When's the next new year, by the way?
That's coming up in September.
Ooh.
The end of September.
Okay.
Oh, don't know the exact date because I didn't write that down, but 20-something.
Okay.
Okay, so that's very interesting. And then, of course, the great trumpet is the other idiom, and that's always referring to Yom Kippur.
Now, I don't want to jump ahead, but I got to ask you this. Where in the scriptures does it say that God tells us pray, or Jesus tells us pray, that you might escape?
We can turn there if you'd like. It's Luke 21.
Luke 21.
Yep. And he just gets through explaining the tribulation period. It's actually similar to the Matthew 24.
Yes, that's what I thought. But we're going to go to Luke 21.
Yeah, Luke 21 is a little more specific, actually. He talks about the seas and the waves roaring, the perplexities of it all. And he says, when you see these things begin to happen, now it's all these things. It's not just one thing here and one thing there, okay?
Right.
It's when you see all these things that he explains, not only here but in Matthew 24 and throughout the Bible, actually. But he says, look up because your redemption draws near. And I believe that's a phrase. Look up because the rapture's coming.
Okay.
You know? But he goes on and he explains all that. And then he goes on and says in verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing. Now, I have to stop here because, you know, we think when we read this, well, that's not pertaining to us. We're Christians and we don't carouse. Right? Say yes, John.
Okay, yes.
Drunkenness? Well, that can't be a Christian. We aren't out there getting drunk.
Okay. Well, we're not supposed to be.
That's right.
That's right.
And, but here it is.
Mm-hmm.
This can apply to every Christian. The cares of this life. Oh, my goodness. Christians are putting the cares of this life ahead of their time in God's Word.
Mm.
And that's a problem. You can't do that. You've got to set that time aside. Write them in your day planner. And then you have to do it because it's just needed. If you're going to have any wisdom or discernment so that you can tell between false prophets and real prophets, you know, you've got to have that word. But then he goes on to say, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. There's another idiom, John.
Okay.
Earth dwellers or those who dwell on the earth.
Is an idiom. It's a figure of speech for, I guess, folks that have made their heart and their home and their treasure right here on the earth. In other words, they're not thinking about heaven or...
That's right. And really, if you're a born-again Christian, you are an alien and sojourner. Our home is in heaven, at least the first 7 years of it.
Yes.
And then here we go, 36. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man for our rewards. So he's saying, pray that you will be worthy to escape. John, what does that say?
Well, that's saying that we can escape.
Yes.
Number one, that's the big, that's
he
obvious.
He wouldn't tell us to pray for something that was impossible.
Exactly.
And yet, I hear so often, oh no, we're going through the tribulation, or we're going through part of the tribulation. And this is what he's saying right here. No, he explains the tribulation. And then he says, pray that you will escape these things. In fact, he even calls it the days of vengeance in verse 22. For these are the days of vengeance. This is the tribulation.
This is the days of vengeance. And that is a red flag should come up in your head. The days of vengeance are the days of the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. Talking about the tribulation.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Oh, absolutely.
See how it all connects?
Oh, it all does. It's like this huge puzzle of prophecy, as I say many times on the show, but it's a piece that fits. It just fits. And when you get a piece that doesn't fit, and you can't find a confirmation to that particular scripture that someone might be using to say we're going through the tribulation, because if it's in there once, it's got to be in there twice.
Right.
Okay? So, throw it out. The puzzle is not, the pieces aren't fitting in the puzzle.
Very good.
Amen.
Oh, that was delightful. Now that's good information. So we're saying, be strong, hazak in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. You know, because pray that you are counted worthy to escape these things.
That's right.
Hang on.
And let's clarify. Mm-hmm. When he says pray, that's just meaning that because we're Christians, we pray. We have to be careful that we don't put too much emphasis on the fact that we have to be, you know, real good. We can't be real good.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. All we have to do is to be in his word and really be that Christian that he's called us to be, that light out there in the dark world.
Exactly.
Because I'll tell you what, it's getting dark out there.
Yes, it is.
Right.
It seems like by the day.
Oh, absolutely. It's awful.
It gets.
I mean, I watch the news and I see how many people, I mean, don't even consider killing anybody else. I mean. It's just a sad thing.
Yes,
but that's okay, because I know who we are in Christ. I know that these things have to happen. And because no one can steal my salvation, no man can take it out of his hand, okay?
Right. What do we do to stop worrying? There's a secret there that I'd like to
read the word. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Because
it's our faith,
makes
isn't
me happy.
It's our faith. And that reminds me that Abraham lifted up his eyes, it says, and he saw.
Yes, he did.
He did. And that was the heavy lifting involved.
Yeah.
He lifted up his eyes. And we're saying, lift up your eyes Get them on the page of 1 Thessalonians.
Yeah, get them in your eye gate.
Get
and the Holy Spirit
eyes.
Will grow inside of you. It's
no
awesome.
Heavy lifting here, you know. You know, our Lord and Savior's done that for us.
Amen. He's the burden holder.
Yes.
He's the ox that went to the cross.
Yes, he
Hallelujah.
Is.
Hallelujah. All right.
I would also like to add, too, that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, and while you still can, you know, all gifts are tax deductible, and donations really are needed to stay on the air. Perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company on Christian radio. You can reach Sheila for details by calling 440-834-9006. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about one of the sponsors of our show, Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but they'll service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, and they do great work. They're affordable, and they're very nice people to boot. You need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep this show on the air. So be sure to tell Chad that you heard about him right here on WHKW. Now, don't go too far. You're listening to Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break. But we want you to hear this song by Melanie. I think you'll enjoy it. Stay with us now.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was Psalm 23, and it was sung by our dear Melanie Pierce, a good friend of ours, who also plays keyboards and flute, great musician. If you would like her to perform for your group or wedding or any church function, give her a call or give us a call, and we'll put you in touch with her. And if you would like to have your business mentioned as a sponsor of this show, give me a call, 440-834-9006. That's my home number. Leave a detailed message, and I'll make sure that I'll get back with you.
Great. And we have a phone caller on the line. It looks like
they're from
Florida. And, hey, you know, they're listening in Florida because you can, on the web, you can go to whkwradio.com and hear a live stream of the show. So that's
great. I know. Isn't it exciting that we're living in these days?
Well, that's one of the good things about being living in these times, that you can hear us in California. You can hear us in New York. You can hear us in Canada, probably.
Yeah. So if you're listening right now and you have family members in other parts of the United States, even the world, John, I just thought about that.
Yes.
Gosh.
You've got friends on vacation in Israel. You can call them up and say, hey.
Wow. And also, thanks to Lou.
Yes.
He puts the shows on my webpage usually within a couple days.
If you miss a show, you can go to shofarministries.net.
Click on radio.
Click on radio. And then you can choose the dates there.
Amen. All right. We have Gina in Florida. Please give us your question.
Question as far as, I believe there's a third temple, I think it is, to be built.
Yes.
And I am wondering if that's going to happen before or after the rapture, and if we see any kind of preparations or anything for that being made.
What a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yes, there is going to be a third temple. We know that by not only the Old Testament in Daniel 9:27, because we have the Antichrist that defiles it.
Okay, so there must be a temple
there. Definitely a third.
Yes.
And later, we'll even have a fourth, of course, but that'll be Jesus' temple when he comes back. And you can read about that in Ezekiel 40 through 48, actually, right in there, and how that's going to be when he is ruler and king over the earth. But also, there is a Jewish interfaith initiative. Do you know what I mean by interfaith?
That must mean that there's more than Jews working on the project?
Well, it could be that. I'm not positive, but I think they're trying to, you know, there's different sects of Jewishness.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I think they're trying to get all the different sects to join in an initiative to get the third Jewish temple built.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, that's really exciting to me, but there's something even more exciting about that, is because, in fact, I think it was just within the last couple of weeks I read an article where they think now that it would not be necessary to even destroy the Dome of the Rock, which many have thought sits right on the same area that Solomon's Temple stood.
And it doesn't. They found out it doesn't.
Well, not all.
Not all.
Okay, but
yeah.
I think they're coming to that conclusion, okay? And I've actually been teaching that for years, especially since the first time I visited Israel. And I stood in front of the Eastern Gate. Now, for those of you that this is maybe new stuff to, the Eastern Gate is part of the big wall that went around Jerusalem. And the Eastern Gate is known and very prophetic that Jesus will come through that Eastern Gate when he returns after the tribulation. But right directly in front of the Eastern Gate is where both temples stood. So when I went to Israel, I stood in front of the wall, in front of the Eastern Gate, because it's still there. It is cemented in, so no one can use it. But if you look straight ahead, you will see that there's nothing there. It is a plain slab of cement. But to the left, 150 feet maybe, 200 maybe. Yeah, I'm not real good at that because I'm, you know. That's where the Dome of the Rock is. So it's really not in front of the Eastern Gate. And, of course, immediately I said to my tour guide, I said, hold it. There's the Eastern Gate. There's nothing in front of it. Why do they say the Dome of the Rock stands where Solomon's Temple stood? And he told me, well, we don't really understand that, but we think that because the original Eastern Gate is underneath it, that they built on top of it another wall and moved the eastern gate. So therefore, it's in the wrong place.
Oh.
And when he said that, you know what I talk about reading your Bible a lot so you'll have discernment?
Yes.
I knew that that was not true.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it. I couldn't imagine the Jewish people building the Eastern Gate anywhere but where it should be. I mean, I just knew that it wasn't, and blah, blah, blah. But that's okay because it wasn't time yet, and it's all, everything is in God's timing, everything. So I have always felt that the three major religions in the last days, I believe, would stand on that Temple Mount. The Dome of the Rock, where it is now,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have to be destroyed.
Right.
Because the temple really stood to the right of it.
Yes.
When you're facing it from the Eastern Gate, to the right of it. And then I believe that the Pope will probably put a Catholic church up there also, so that all three major religions can be signified.
And that's a movement that's quite alive today in the land of Israel, is the interfaith movement.
Absolutely.
Where you'll see the bumper stickers with the Islamic insignia, the Star of David, the Mogen David, which is the symbol of Israel, and the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, you know, coexist.
Well, and that's another reason, John, why we have to leave.
Yes.
Because we wouldn't go along with this interfaith stuff. You know, there's only one way, through Jesus Christ, and that's it. So God is going to remove us so that the rest of prophecy can be fulfilled.
Right.
And this one world religion is the woman that rides the beast being the Antichrist that comes out of the sea, Revelation 13.
Now, I wonder if Jill is wondering, like a lot of folks are, that, wouldn't it take more than 7 years, actually, to build the temple?
No.
Okay.
And that is because
it's quite intricate, you know, this construction of this.
Well, except that they have it prefabbed almost already. I have been told that it'll only take 3 to 6 months tops. Now, I don't think we'll probably see the beginning of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think the rapture is going to happen. I might be wrong, but I think the rapture is going to be happening first, because I think that permission to build the temple is going to be part of that agreement that the Antichrist signs in the very beginning of the tribulation period.
I see.
Okay, and that could be within 10 days after we're gone.
Okay.
Okay. So when the Antichrist signs that agreement, they will get busy to it and have that temple built very quickly. And everything is ready, I'm told.
Well, you know, Sheila, that's not too difficult to imagine when you can, if you remember, Solomon's temple was originally prefab too. They had all the stones cut, and then they moved the stones up to the Temple Mount and assembled them there. They weren't cut there; they were assembled. So it was prefab also.
Right.
So the Jewish people are old hands at the prefab.
Right, and we know that, of course, the garments are ready.
Yes.
All the implements are ready. The shofars are
even
ready.
The harps. The harps, yes.
Everything is ready to go. The right colors. Even the priests are ready.
They found the Levitical line, and they did that through DNA.
Yes, there's a special chromosome.
They have a special chromosome. They've got
that nobody else has.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible?
And it's just the day and age we live in. That would have been impossible to do.
Yeah.
Because it's just been recently in history that we've been able to flag DNA
mm-hmm.
and chase
I
DNA
know.
through human
I know.
Beings.
It's, I know, it's amazing.
It could only happen in the days we're living in.
And things that were lost for 2,000 years have been found, like the flask of oil, that special oil of anointing that they have to have.
Yeah.
They found an original.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And also the snail, there was a particular snail that had produced blue dye. That was the only dye that they could use for the high priest colors.
Right.
That disappeared for 2,000 years. About 20 years ago, these snails started coming up again on the shores of the Mediterranean. The same snail that had that kind of dye.
That uses that. And that's the blue dye, isn't it?
Right.
Yes.
And the red heifer had disappeared for a while. There was no red heifers, which is they have to have for purification, the ashes mm-hmm. of the red heifers. Now there's a red heifer.
Now there's a red heifer.
I mean, we are ready, folks. And when you add all this stuff up, this is the signs that I'm telling you about that Jesus said, when all these signs come together, you got to look up. But I want to touch on one more thing about the temple since we're on the subject. Mm-hmm. And please, if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation 11. And I want to show you where John is being told about this temple that's going to be built. And John says in verse 1 in Revelation 11, he says, "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod." So he was going to measure something.
Mm-hmm.
"And the angel stood saying, 'Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there.'" Okay, would this be the Jews, of course. "But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months, which happens to be 3.5 years.
And that's half of 7, isn't it?
That is.
Yes, exactly half.
So, here's, they're going to build it in the first half, and the second half, of course, we're going to see that the Antichrist is going to defile it. But the point I'm trying to make here is he says, leave out the court which is outside the temple, because when Herod came along, he wanted to please the Jews. Okay, he wanted them to like him. And so Zerubbabel's temple that was remade after Solomon's was destroyed after the Babylonian captivity, and they went back to build it. He didn't build it like they had it in Herod's day. It was just the three parts.
The Holy of Holies, the
holy place,
and the court of the Levites.
Part is. And so Herod, he said, you know what, I'm going to make this more beautiful. I'm going to add some gold, and I'm going to enlarge it. And he made a huge area to the left of the temple, and it was called the Court of the Gentiles, mm-hmm. where the Gentiles could actually go.
Yes, and it was huge.
It was huge.
And there was a wall,
mm-hmm.
and some were dividing that from the Court of the Women and
That's
then the
right.
Court of the Levites.
That's right. So what is being told to John here, don't measure that.
Yes.
Because it's been given over to the Gentiles. And you know, John, that's exactly where the Dome of the Rock is today.
And there's room enough also for another church, or perhaps...
Yeah, I've been on the Temple Mount. It's huge.
A Catholic cathedral could go there.
But easily. What's interesting is that you've got the Dome of the Rock and the Court of the Gentiles, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and right in front of the Eastern Gate is where they're going to build their temple because they're going to be given permission. I just know it because the Bible says so.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Catholic Church will probably build something up there. And they've already talked about that, too, by the way.
Yes.
I've had little... news things about that.
Hey, you know, our caller's still on. Gina's still on.
Gina, did that answer your question, or was it more than you wanted?
It was definitely an answer. And then,
we didn't know.
I thought maybe you had hung up, but that's good. I hope that was enough. Do you have any other questions to add or anything that I didn't add?
No, not right now.
Okay. Well, God bless you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, and God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord.
We could have asked her what kind of weather they were having, because I think our weather in Cleveland beats the Florida weather today.
Okay, but now, wouldn't that take away from Bible time?
Yes, it would.
Amen. Okay, but let's go on a little bit more about the temple. We have 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Believe it. I get so amazed that I look up at the clock and I see how much has expired. It's amazing to me. So, but anyway, what I was telling you about this group of people, and it was basically a Jewish interfaith group, and they actually launched a project to diffuse religious strife by showing that the end of times vision of the Jewish people, a temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, can now be fulfilled without destroying the Dome of the Rock. And I'm so excited about that because I've been preaching that for 15 years. I mean, and then you know, when I hear this, and I think the guy's name, and I have it written down here somewhere, let me look. Yes, Frankel's his name. He's the director of this whole interfaith group. And he says that, you know, we can transform the Temple Mount from a place of contention to a place of worship shared by the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians. That's what he said. I just read the quote. I'm glad I found that.
And now, is that a coincidence that just fits in dovetails? Into the prophecy of the Bible.
I know.
And
everything is coming together.
Into prophecy.
It is absolutely amazing. It is so exciting to live in these days. And my friends out there, if you're not happy about these exciting days, there's something wrong there. You need to spend more time in God's Word because that's where you're going to get your joy.
That's right. And please don't be afraid. You know, some of the things we talk about might sound a little scary, but that should be just a reminder that,
yeah,
well, you know, our God is a big God.
Oh,
He's
yeah.
in charge of the whole universe. If he knows what's coming upon the earth, he knows where you're at.
Yeah.
And he's ready right there with his hands extended, saying, you know, come to me. Come
Absolutely.
To my word. Study my word. Learn about me.
Absolutely. He wants to show you things. But sometimes we limit that.
Yes.
It's really sad. You know what? We're going to have to give our closing remarks here.
Okay. Well, if you do have a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or home group.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Yeah, and she loves to do that, and she does a very good job at it. And you simply just email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net. And I want to remind you, too, this is a listener-supported radio broadcast. If this show is a blessing to you, then your help is really needed to keep
it really is.
On the air. So, and I just want to remind you, any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. All donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter, and that's full of these gold nuggets like we just talked about today and current events of these last days here in America and in Israel. And why not check out the webpage while you're at it? The newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there. Did you want to thank Lou Buckley?
Oh, I do thank you, Lou, for doing my webpage for me and putting the shows on there. And by the way, he's very fair priced, and he's willing to help you with your own webpage. Let us know if you're interested, and we'll forward your number to him.
Okay, good. And the Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2, are available on Sheila's webpage as well as shofarministries.net.
Yeah, they're available to purchase on my webpage. They're okay. Actually DVDs.
Yes. Oh, there's a DVD.
Yeah,
right now, 'cause
very,
it's made one.
Yes. Very, very good teaching.
And they're very essential. If you're getting started in this, if this is new for you, you need
those. Oh, absolutely. I encourage you.
We'd like to close with the Aaronic blessing today, so join us as we bless you. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom to next week.
Till next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.